Hey, what's in there? Your glass over there?
Wine.
It's very bubbly.
It's I'm waiting for the champagne to go flat so it can just be wine. Because I don't actually like champagne because it's too bubbly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So I just let it go flat in the fridge. Where are you going?
I can't be friends with you anymore.
Why? Where are you going? Come back.
You don't like champagne.
Come back. I'll drink it. Don't go home.
Funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying because I'm about there right now. We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast, the podcast for people who have friends who champagne shame them.
You said you don't like champagne.
I don't love it. It's not the most hydrating form of wine, in my opinion. It makes me feel like I'm not drinking anything.
Well, that's why I go a little bit slower when I have champagne and I pace myself. That's why I like it.
Oh, see, no, I just drink it. So I've been waiting for it to go flat, but it's taking too long. So now I'm just drinking it.
Waiting for your mom to go flat.
Your mom's going flat.
Jeez. I'm sorry.
I'm Bethany.
I'm Kathleen.
Just learned how to say my own name. I'm Bethany.
It's like when my mom is really mad at me, she goes, Kathleen.
Kathleen.
I'm like, there's no A in there, woman.
And we are an acquired taste podcast. Sam is on her hiatus, her sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's writing a paper.
She's doing face masks, I assume.
I hope so. That's what professors do when they go on their sabbaticals, is write papers and do face masks.
And they spend a lot of time being quiet.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds nice. We spent 2 days of last week at the Work It Festival, podcasting festival here in New York. It was amazing.
We got to connect with a lot of incredible women who work in audio as well and who are amazing storytellers.
Yeah. And Kathleen, you mentioned last episode that you met a woman who has a podcast about plants.
I saw on a message board about her podcast about plants.
I met her.
No, you didn't.
She's lovely.
Oh, how funny. You know, somebody in our Acquired Taste secret Facebook fan group said, I need to know about this podcast about houseplants, and I sent her over the link.
Wait, let me find her business card. I have it. It's called Bloom and Grow Radio, and her name is Maria. She's super nice, and she was talking to somebody else in our group about her podcast, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna like kind of bow out of this conversation mentally. I don't really know anything about plants. I don't really care. But then I had all these questions for her about my plants, and then I realized I'm very invested in houseplants. And she said that that happens all the time, that people don't really think they have anything to do with plants, and then they ask questions and suddenly they have a lot of feelings about plants.
Yeah, I mean, just a few years ago on Pinterest, it spiked. There were like tons and tons and tons of photos of people planting basil and cilantro and mint in mason jars to grow in their kitchen.
Yeah.
So I think that was like a cool thing that people who didn't necessarily think that they had an interest in plants started thinking about growing things.
Things. And you know, succulents were huge like last year and a little of this year. And I think so, yeah. Plants are a thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we're gearing up for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Thanksgiving is this week. If you're listening live as this comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
Woof.
Yeah, so I'm practicing my high kicks because when someone says something that I don't like, I'm just going to start high kicking right across the living room.
Yeah, last year I think we did 2 episodes that involved people crying after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen, do you see any family disagreements coming?
Mm-mm.
No.
I'm going into this year with an open heart and big smiles.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to make nice with everybody.
Is it going
to
be one of those authentic smiles or one of those smiles where you're smiling from your face down, but you're crying from your face up?
No comment.
Okay.
Are you flying back to Wisconsin?
Yes. I fly back Wednesday morning. I have a new house sitter. I'm a little nervous.
Oh, to take care of the kitty cats.
Yeah. So I've never used her before.
Mm-hmm.
But she seems nice. And the only thing that makes me a little nervous is that she came for like the house visit to learn the house and everything. And then after she said goodbye and left, I like went about my day. And then about 10 minutes later, I was getting ready to leave. And when I left, she was just leaving the house. So like she hung out in my house for another 10 minutes.
Oh, that's strange.
It weirded me out a little bit. I was like, are you just trying to figure out where you're going next? And so you just needed to sit for a second and figure out like map directions?
Or was she casing the joint?
Were you casing the joint? And so
you have security cameras. You've got a cat cam.
Yeah, I have a cat cam, and like my house is very secure, and there are many people who live in it.
Mm-hmm.
But
lots of weapons. Lots of weapons.
Swords, maces.
Know, there's an app, and I can't remember what it's called, but when I went to Italy a few years ago, I had an old phone. So if you have old iPhones, as I think most people do, because I'm afraid to give those away because, yeah, you know, personal information on there. There's an app you can download, and as long as it's plugged in, you can set it up in the corner of the room, and it will trigger whenever there's any motion in the room. So just let your cat sitter know that you've got cameras set up all over the place, just, you know, for security when she's not there.
Yeah.
But there's no way to turn them off when she is there.
Amazing.
That's what I always tell my cat sitters.
I hate to not trust people, but I like know. That just weirded me out a little bit.
I trust 0.0 people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'll keep you guys posted, but I definitely am like making sure the pet cam is at a high angle so I can see everything.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Today we're going to focus a little bit on the weird.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of stories that came out recently that are just bizarre that we want to talk about. And then also we have some advice for, was it Gertrude?
For Gertrude from last episode. She was getting divorced and she didn't know if she was ready to be single again. And she wanted tips on how to be single. And our taste buds are so amazing. They wrote in the best tips on how to just live your best single life. So we're going to get to those as well.
Amazing. Okay, cool. But first,
I'm just going to say it. I'm going to scream from the mountaintop.
What?
Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
Okay, go to my Instagram, and this isn't a plug for my Instagram, but it's proof. Miss Bethany Watson. And if you look at the pictures from when I was filming over the weekend, if you swipe over a couple, you can see I'm filming in the hallway wearing my Bombas socks because they were more comfortable than the shoes I was wearing.
And when you have a long day of filming very cool independent movies like you do, arch support is very important.
Yes, it is. That's the number one rule in film. If you're a film student, you know that. Arch support.
Mm-hmm. And stay up technology like Bombas have. They don't slip down your ankles. Yeah. They don't become, bare heels.
No. Yeah. Those no-show socks usually just become painful sitting under your arch socks. But Bombas has figured it out. And the thing that we love about them is that one pair sold equals one pair donated. Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. But you can't donate used socks because what? You're not a monster.
No, you can't donate used socks.
No, only monsters do that, and you're a good person. And that's why Bombas donates one brand new pair of socks for every pair they sell.
Because Bombas are good people.
Yes.
And good socks.
To date, they've sold and donated over 9 million pairs.
That's a lot of pairs.
Bombas socks are the best. You put them on, the arch support hugs your arch. They don't have a seam along the toe, so it doesn't give your toe calluses. They're just so dang comfortable, and they have one of my favorite animals on them, the bee.
So we're so excited that Bombas is offering Acquired Taste listeners 20% off of your first order. So go to bombas.com/taste. That's T-A-S-T-E. Also, Bombas is spelled B-O-M-B-A-S. And use the code TASTE at checkout, T-A-S-T-E. Again, that's bombas.com/taste and use the code TASTE for 20% off of your first order. If you had to be one kind of stuffing, what kind of stuffing would you be? Quick.
Vegetarian, but with some cranberries thrown in. Definitely Stouffer's, but zhuzhed a little.
Zhuzhed. Some celery, some onion.
Yeah, throw a little bit of something in there. But I would like, not Stouffer's, Stovetop.
Stovetop. You like Stovetop?
Love Stovetop.
Okay, I know you don't know how to cook, so I'm just going to say, okay, honey.
Don't cook shame me. It's good. It tastes like my childhood.
The people who are really, really good chefs, they dry out their own bread, and then they make their own cubes and stuff. But I've been seeing cauliflower stuffing as this new trend that's happening this Thanksgiving, because cauliflower is the new black.
Cauliflower is the new, if you don't want to eat gluten, everything is cauliflower. And I am okay with a cauliflower like pizza crust, but I bought these sticks. I think they're from Trader Joe's. They're like cauliflower sticks.
Oh, they're meant like crunchy snacks.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're too salty. Like, so not everything is cauliflower.
The thing with cauliflower is that you do have to really salt it. You have to season it.
Yeah.
Over-season it because it's a little bit cauliferous. You know that.
Yeah.
That cabbagey taste.
Blah, it's not good.
I like cauliflower. I like a little bit of curry.
So what would you be, what stuffing would you be if you were to be a stuffing?
So I like a fruity stuffing and I'm big on texture. So I would do like pomegranate seeds and walnuts and maybe just a little touch of sausage thrown in there. And
wow.
I like cornbread cubes.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Or Pepperidge Farm has a really good cube that I like.
I don't don't know why that made me happy.
A little acorn squash thrown in there, but like al dente.
Yeah.
I like to feel a lot of texture. And yeah. I'm not like a garlic stuffing person. I don't like garlic on Thanksgiving. It's just not a season that feels Thanksgiving-y to me.
I didn't know garlic was brought into the Thanksgiving realm.
Yeah. I mean, some people cook with garlic all the time. I'm like sage. I like the sage and the thyme.
Yeah.
Things that remind me of, I don't know,
the harvest.
The umami of the nose. Oh, and let me tell you about this other thing that I heard.
What's this other thing you heard?
Okay. People this year are, it's been catching on that they're putting soy sauce in their gravy because it adds a layer of umami that you can't really pinpoint if you're eating it, but it, you know, it's a savory element that really ups the level of your gravy, especially if it's vegetarian gravy, because that umami, because you don't have any of the turkey drippings, it's hard to recreate.
I do like those little secret ingredients that no one knows about. Like when you do, I did this today. If you make a grilled cheese sandwich, instead of using butter on the outside of the bread, use a little mayo.
Yes.
And it makes it so much.
It's
like
crispy.
Crispier. Yes. Yeah. And it works. And no one knows. So we're going to kind of volley back and forth. So we're going to do a weird story that we've connected to this week. And then Kathleen will check in with Gertrude on some tips for being single.
The world is a weird, weird place.
Yeah. So Kathleen, you sent a bunch of stories today. And I want to tell you one of my very favorite, because I feel like this is something we can all learn from.
The drunk raccoon?
No, not the drunk raccoon. So this story came out in all of our favorite magazine, Town and Country magazine.
Oh, yes. I actually go to townandcountry.com quite often.
I didn't know that it was a thing that I needed in my life.
townandcountrymag.com, actually.
Yeah, Town and Country Mag.
Because I like to see what the rich people are into.
Is that what this is all about?
Yes. Town and Country is just a magazine for ultra wealthy people.
Oh, that's good to know. So it's something to aspire to.
Yes, exactly.
It's like reading the Wall Street Journal if you want to make money, but like you're still broke. Okay, so they came out with a story. Rose Minitalio wrote about Mary Poppins and the real life inspiration for Mary Poppins.
Yes. Well, Mary Poppins, the big movie starring Emily Blunt, is coming out next year in 2019.
Yes. And, you know, of course, the original came out in 64 with Julie Andrews. And when you think of Mary Poppins, you think of like the nanny who was very strict, but very kind, and very classy, like twinkle in her eye, friendly, but stern. But,
bag of tricks.
Yeah. But loving. And it turns out
throwing tricks, bag of tricks.
No, yeah, not
or turning tricks.
Not sex work.
Yes.
But yeah, magic.
Poppins work.
Right. And so
Poppins bottles.
No.
I'm sorry.
Please come out with a porn like based on Mary Poppins, but it's called Poppins bottles.
I'm going to write a whole book of poetry called Mary Poppins bottles. And it's about a nanny who goes to the club and the children go to sleep.
Can't wait. So the woman who actually wrote Mary Poppins, the books, I didn't even know it was a book first, is a woman named P.L. Travers, and she based Mary Poppins on an aunt of hers.
Mm-hmm. Her aunt was named Helen Moorhead.
Oof.
So not quite as catchy as Mary Poppins.
No. But she said that she was sharp, subversive, she was vain, and very different from the fun, caring woman that audiences know from the movies. And apparently when the Mary Poppins movie came out, she hated it.
What? How can you hate that movie?
Because she said that they had completely changed what she had written in her book. So Travers wrote a book called Aunt Sass,
yes,
or Aunt Sauce, depending on how you pronounce
it. I prefer Aunt Sauce.
Which was released in 2014. And she said that Poppins was partly based on Helen Moorhead, her aunt, or Aunt Ellie, what they called her, and that she was grim, she was tall and gaunt, she was graceless, but that she was also very fierce, and that she had a lot of imagination. And so even though she was like, you know, stern with children,
yeah,
she was also quick to make up stories and songs, and that children basically worshipped her because, you know, you worship adults who seem a little untouchable and seem a little larger than life.
Of course, because you can't relate to them in any way.
Right. So and you want them to like you. You know, you want to earn their praise and you want to earn their trust and attention.
Is this like if I wrote a book about you?
Yeah. Well, this is why I like the story.
In the book, you wanted so many children that you decided to open an orphanage. And but you were still this fabulous, graceful actor with like blonde hair and long legs. And
but was terrible with children.
One of my favorite points from the article in Town and Country magazine is, much like Poppins, Aunt Helen Moorhead could make up delightful rhymes and songs on the spot.
Right? Which is like something that seems magical to a kid. She also said in an article to the New Yorker, she was also an everyday enchantress, a woman who will scold a child for wearing a coat in a warm room, but also one who will take her charges to a midnight congress of animals at the zoo and on an afternoon trip around the world. So the thing that this made me think of is, like, how does this apply to you listening? What kind of person will you be remembered as? Like, I love people who are larger than life, people mm-hmm. who are characters in real life.
Michael Jackson, much larger than life.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, a personality, a public persona that was tenfold what he actually was.
Yeah. And even people who aren't famous. Like, we have a friend in my family who has an aunt who is larger than life. Like,
yeah.
She's fabulous. She's a little mean, mm-hmm. but she's also fantastic. And she's super judgmental, but she's also very funny. And, like, those kind of people. And it made me want to live to become that kind of a person, whatever that is with you. You
yeah.
know, like Kathleen, what would you want your memory to be, you know, if you die at 96, like this woman, Helen Moorhead?
Someone who made excellent Thanksgiving stuffing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Like, what else? Like, what else?
Someone
about
who,
you?
In her old age, always wore a neck scarf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Like,
Or the person single-handedly responsible for bringing back the cardigan pin.
Yeah. Oh, where did they go?
Do you know what?
I love a cardigan
and
pin.
There is an official name for it. It's when you pin like the two top corners of your cardigan. It's like a little chain. It's a piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
I've been vintage shopping on Poshmark a lot lately, and I've seen a few of them pop up, and I should make a bid on one of them because I want to be the woman that brings those back.
Yeah, like a brooch, but for the top of your
yes,
cardigan.
Yes, I want Vogue to say, it was me, yeah. Kathleen. Who brought back the cardigan accessories.
I love it. Like, as you're listening, I want you to tell us what you want to be remembered for. Like,
yeah.
What will make you larger than life? What personality trait, what thing that you do, what habit do you have that will make you memorable and larger than life and that someone could write a book about?
Once you identify this characteristic, writing your obituary will become a lot easier.
This is true.
Opening line. She was known for, he was known for,
bring
blah,
back
blah,
the
blah.
Cardigan pin. Tweet us at Acquired Podcast. Let us know what it is that you think you're going to be remembered for. Or what do you want to be remembered for? And what are you going to do now to make sure you are remembered for that?
When does Mary Poppins movie come out?
Mary Poppins Returns.
Wait, hang on. Oh, do you know what day that Mary Poppins is going to come out?
December sometime, right?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was 2019, but you're right. It's December 19th, 2018.
Oh, look at that.
It's going to be a Christmas hit.
Oh, 'tis a Christmas miracle.
I just love Emily Blunt, and this movie's gotten a lot of buzz. You know, she's remaking The Hat and The Umbrella. And
yeah.
I was supposed to be Mary Poppins for Halloween, and I woke up that morning and said, I'm too tired.
Is that what you were going to do?
I was going to be Mary. I bought the freaking umbrella from Disney. It cost me $50 with the parrot head.
Wait, what?
Well, I'm going to be Mary Poppins next year.
Good.
But I just, you know, you wake up some mornings and you just can't put on a face and you can't do your hair.
Halloween is a struggle.
It is.
I love Halloween in theory, but in practice it is exhausting. Because Halloween, unless you are a child,
yeah.
Halloween is a holiday of getting drunk and being around people.
And spending money on props that you'll never use again.
Yes. And that is exhausting to introverts.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
So anyway, maybe I'll bring my umbrella to the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Mary Poppins.
If you dress up as Mary Poppins to the movie, I will dress up as Bert the Chimney Sweep.
Oh, and
accompany you.
I actually have a brother named Bert, too, so I can bring two Berts with me.
Is that your hot brother?
No, that's disgusting. Let's not talk about this. So last episode, our listener Gertrude wrote in and said, you know, she's getting this divorce. She's never really been single.
Yeah, she's pretty sure she's getting a divorce.
She's pretty sure she's getting a divorce. She's never been single in her life. And so when we posted the episode, I asked people to give her advice on how to live your best single life. So Vesna wrote to us in our email, anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. She said, I went through a divorce when I was younger. Number one thing, save your money. If you think it's ending, start saving.
Mm.
That way, when it's over, you have a nice cushion to start over and do what you want. Also, connecting with friends you've lost contact with is important. You'd be surprised about how many people will empathize with you.
Ooh, that's really good.
Yeah. If you've lost contact with friends, don't think that you can't ever reach out to them ever again.
Yeah, for sure.
People forget the awful things that you've said to them or done to them. I forget.
Yes.
I forget the awful things I've done to myself.
And I forget the awful things that I've done to you. I hope you forgot the awful things I've done to you.
I keep a journal, a bullet journal.
Brittany tweeted us As someone who's dealing with a breakup after 11 years, it's important to have a support system, whether it be friends or family. You need people around you to get you through this tough time. Don't forget about yourself. It's easy to lose yourself. Mm-hmm. Do the things you love still.
Oh, I love that. Melanie emailed us. I feel that I was meant to hear this podcast about Gertrude because I went through something similar when I was 36. I was married for a year and a half and with my ex. He pulled the rug out from me one summer. We were celebrating our 1-year anniversary in Hawaii and things started to hit the fan. Less than 3 short months later, we sold our home and I got divorced and I never saw it coming. It's not easy, but it will get better. And yesterday I booked my first solo vacation to Turks and Caicos for next month. And being alone can be very empowering and I am taking back my damn power.
Yes.
Gertrude, you will survive and you will become stronger than you've ever known.
In that travel vein, Catitude on Twitter said, I don't want to be that taste bud, but travel. Honestly, I wouldn't have moved to London. Ooh, she moved to London.
That's so exciting. I'm jealous.
Yeah, she said, I wouldn't have moved to London had I not dealt with an awful 2017 relationship-wise. Move somewhere new or travel for a few months. You will find yourself.
Do you think she's the Mary Poppins of London?
I do.
Like reverse?
I do. Shout out to modern technology. So our computer just crashed.
Yeah.
And we lost about 7 minutes of the most high quality comedic content you've ever heard in your life.
We probably would have won an Oscar for podcasts.
Alrighty.
So you know how charming it is when a British woman or man comes to America and becomes a nanny?
Yes.
Do you think that the reverse is true? Like an American working for a British family?
No.
Do you think that?
No, I don't know this to be true, but I don't think people in England have the same sense of wonder around Americans as we do around the Brits.
Do you think that they're still just a little bit angry that, you know, the 13 colonies turned into this mega thing?
It blew up. Yes, I do think that there is some bitterness broke off.
Became the Macy's of the world or the Amazon. The Amazon of world politics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things have changed a lot, but I do think that there's definitely a sense of like what could have been.
Kids, get in the bath.
Bath.
See, that's very charming. Like
bath.
Like Emily Blunt in Devil Wears Prada. I love my job. Children, it's time for your bath.
Versus like, hey kids, get in the tub.
Get in the tub before I whoop your ass.
Hey Gemma. Hey Rupert. Hey Wadsworth. Get in the tub before I kick your ass.
Hey, J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, get in the tub.
If you don't take your freaking vitamins, I'm going to kick you.
I'm going to whoop your ass.
I don't think nannies threaten physical harm.
I don't.
I just imagine that that's how it
I've
is.
I've never had one. You're the one who grew up with au pairs.
I did. Okay.
Can't wait. Hold on. Limousine window up. Kathleen can't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen grew up with au pairs, and I'm not entirely sure how rich she was growing up, but she had a different au pair. I can't hear this. The limousine window is up. She had a different au pair every year, and some of them were like from Norway and France.
Can I just clarify?
Limousine window. And she was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. My au pair, Bergdorf, when I was 7. Oh yeah, and then my au pair, blah, 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 Francois Genevieve, when I was 11, taught me how
to... Okay, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you.
Window down, and that's only because I love you.
Listen, I'm from a middle-class family from New Jersey, and having an au pair then was a lot cheaper than it is now because there's no Instagram. There's no, I'm an au pair in another country living the life, taking all these cool photos. Was you come to America, and you work for a middle-class family, and you made very minimal wages because they gave you
limousine
room and
window
board.
Limousine window is back up. And then she had an au pair named, I don't think it was like Christophe Rosemont. And she was like, oh yeah, just FYI, my au pair when I was a little girl. Like,
I just want to let...
Limousine window is up!
I just want to let you know that I shared a bedroom with my little brother because there weren't enough bedrooms for each of us to have our own
au pair.
And the au pair. The au pair got a bedroom and I shared one with my brother. We were not rich. My parents
had an au pair.
My parents were just old when they had us and they didn't want to give up their jobs.
It's fine. We drank from a hose instead of with a pool. We didn't have a pool. We drank from a hose.
When I was bad in middle school, my punishment was to water the lawn until my fingers fell off my hands. And we had a sprinkler system. My dad just really liked to see us suffer.
You had a sprinkler system?
And my dad made us do the arm motion too. Left.
Oh, you were the sprinkler system.
I was the sprinkler system. That was
anyway.
It was after the au pairs left and all our money was drained.
they left with all the money. This is why I don't trust the girl who's coming to take care of my cats. She's going to take all my au pair money.
Oh, I'm excited to see the movie. Will you come see Mary Poppins with me?
Yes.
We'll dress like American Mary Poppins.
Yes.
So I have the umbrella.
And I think I have a bowler hat for some reason.
Amazing.
H&M came out with them like 2 years ago.
So you're going to be Bert.
I'll be Bert. You be Mary.
Okay,
it'll be
great. Great. It's that time of year again. It's the holiday season. We've been talking about it all podcast, and I'm getting all of my home supplies for when, you know, my friends and family come over, when I'm feeding them meals, when they're going to use my bathroom.
Yeah.
From Grove.co.
Oh, love them.
I know. And they have Mrs. Meyer soap, which is one of my favorites.
You were talking today. You keep using it and smelling it.
Sniff my hand.
Oh, it smells good.
That is the pumpkin spice flavor from Mrs. Meyer that I got from Grove.co. And my mother-in-law has apple cider flavor.
Ooh.
Damn, that makes the bathroom smell delicious.
The basic in me honors the basic in you.
Thank you.
Well, get Mrs. Meyer's exclusively from Grove before it runs out. I am already a Grove customer, but because of this, I kind of want to sign up with a different email address.
I know.
Because here's the deal. So number one, you select your favorite holiday scent, Iowa pine, peppermint, or orange clove. And then new customers, which is why I want to use a new email address, will get the holiday set when you place your first order of $20. So here's what's in the set. A free Mrs. Meyer's holiday hand soap, free Mrs. Meyer's holiday dish soap, free Mrs. Meyer's holiday multi-surface spray. That stuff's the best. Grove Collaborative Red Cleaning Caddy and Grove Collaborative Walnut Scrubber Sponges. And then, this is why I love them so much, if you spend $39, you'll also get a free Grove Stoneware Tray to beautifully display your new holiday soaps. This is amazing.
I love how dedicated Grove is to selling products that don't have chemicals in them.
And don't test on animals.
Yes. And all of the packaging is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And nothing says, I am really fancy, enjoy your time at my house, and beautiful packaging on soaps and everything.
I love it. So do you see those two glass jars I have on the side of my sink?
Oh, yes. They're very chic looking.
Yeah. So one is for dish soap. One is for hand soap.
Wait, your dish soap is in that beautiful glass container?
Yeah. It has the two little pictures of plates on it. That's all it says. And that's how you know. It's so classy.
Wait, is that from Grove.co?
Uh-huh.
Oh, how
sure
cute
is
that?
I love Grove so much. Their products are clean. They aren't filled with chemicals, like you said. You just feel better using them, especially if you have kids or pets running around your house. You know, you don't want to put all these chemicals on the floor and all over the surfaces. You just want to make sure that your family is healthy. So shop Grove before this exclusive holiday offer runs out, because this stuff will all be gone come December, especially if I have anything to do with it.
Get your free stuff.
Yeah, get it. So for a limited time, Acquired Taste listeners who sign up get an amazing free Mrs. Meyer's holiday products, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. So check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/taste. That's grove.co. It's not .com. It's .co/taste. So again, grove.co/taste.
All right. Speaking of the holidays, can we talk about this guy who married a hologram in Japan?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this.
So Huffington Post had this article this week. Japanese groom spends $18,000 to get married to a hologram.
Okay. So it's a dude. He's 35. He got married to Hatsune Miku, which is a singing hologram.
Mm-hmm.
She uses a voice synthesizer. She has sold out shows worldwide. So she's not real.
And he said that he married a hologram because his virtual wife will never cheat on him and she'll never die. So that makes sense.
Okay. So he doesn't even like have a hologram of her. He has like a stuffed doll that he put a ring on the wrist of the stuffed doll. Like, at first...
You can't put a ring on a hologram.
No!
It'll just fall to the ground.
And he even specified, he's like, yeah, there's a lot of her because she's virtual, but I'm married to the one in my house.
He had the wedding of his dreams to a woman who doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He's 35.
Okay. This is the thing. He said, two-dimensional characters can't cheat, age, or die. I'm not seeking these in real women. It's impossible. There are so many problems with this. Like, this guy somehow has created such an unrealistic expectation of what he wants from a partner that he can only find it in a partner that's not real.
Yeah.
Like, that's I'm actually really grateful that he married a stuffed animal and not a human person, because what, how horrible would he be to that human person, and what expectations would he put on her?
Yeah.
Like, you would be a slave.
It's not fair. It's just, it's, you can't be human. Fair. He is so unbelievable. His standards are so high that he couldn't marry a human.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't want someone who's going to age. Like, that's insane to me.
I wonder if he holds himself to those same standards.
Exactly.
Jerk.
Exactly.
Of the 40 guests who attended, not one of them was a family member. So he only had 40 guests, but it cost $18,000.
Who were the 40 guests, I wonder?
I mean, you didn't have to buy a wedding dress. She's a plush toy.
That's insane.
Oh, Lord.
His mom is not happy. It's...
Okay, he says that he's never cheated on her.
Of course not. She's a stuffed animal.
He's in love with her, and he thinks about her every day.
I just want to know what this dude's intake of like social media and entertainment and online content is, that this is what he decided he needed in his life.
He needs professional help.
Yes, because deep down it goes down to, you want someone who's not going to leave you or die.
Yeah.
So there's something there. Mm-hmm. Like, we all are afraid of, you know, being alone. But like, the abject fear of someone dying is a thing to deal with.
I wonder if he'll get a sex doll to compensate for not being able to touch her.
But that's the thing. There's the doll that he has.
It's just a kid's toy.
Yeah. It's like the size of, maybe it's shorter than the size of your forearm. I mean, it's tiny.
Maybe he can get one of those like fancy high tech sex dolls that they show on HBO with her face on it.
Or maybe he should just get some therapy and date a person.
Date a human.
Like, deal with your issues and then realize that people get old, people die, and... You know,
I got it. He finds a woman who wants to marry the male hologram equivalent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So two heterosexual people who want to marry holograms. And one side of the house is for him. One side of the house is for her. And when they need physical touch, they each put on a mask and they go into a room, one room that they share, and they have sex with each other, or, you know, whatever it is that holograms do to get off.
Yeah.
And then they go back to their hologram life.
Actually sounds like a...
Right?
Kind of ideal.
I think I just wrote a screenplay.
I mean, that just sounds like a Friends with Benefits situation. But that actually sounds kind of great.
Hologram of benefits.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's so many problems with it that I don't know.
God, I could get married to Brad Pitt if I wanted to.
Yeah, but then that also raises the whole issue of, does Brad Pitt give his permission to for you to use him in that manner?
Well, there's technology now that can look at every single movie that Brad Pitt has been in, every single interview that he's ever done, and they can create an artificial intelligence based off of his mannerisms and every question he's ever answered in an interview his whole life, and make a hologram that is probably pretty damn close.
It's like, there's such a crazy, scary world now. Like, they can make videos that make it look like you've said something in a video when you haven't said that thing in a video.
Well, that's like when you get these spam calls. I try not to say anything, because if you say, hey, stop calling me, you know, I didn't sign up for this list.
Yeah.
They can splice up your syllables or feed your voice into a machine. And then that voice can call up like a credit card company and be like, I'm Kathleen, sign me up for a credit card.
Are you serious?
Yes. That's why they say you really shouldn't say anything to spam callers, because they can take your voice and chop it up and make you say the word yes. And so they can make up a whole fake phone call where, like, do you want this offer? And you say, and they make you say yes, even though you didn't say yes.
This stuff scares me so much. This is like the kind of time where I'm a little bit like apocalyptic in terms of believing these things are going
to
happen.
So even though you're still single, you're not going to sign up to date a hologram?
No.
I mean,
no.
Really, it would be ideal for you, Bethany.
I think it'd be great. Here's the problem.
You like being alone.
I do. I also like making out. And from what I've heard on the streets, there's a whisper network on the streets. And I feel like the make out with holograms is not great. And as you know, making out is my number one reason for being in a relationship.
I can see it being like a little one dimensional.
So not great.
Okay. Can we finally talk about this drunken raccoon?
Yes. Yes. Tell me the story of the drunk raccoons.
I feel like this is very appropriate because many of us will be drunken raccoons in the morning after Thanksgiving.
I'm one right now.
Yes, you are. You're drinking alone. I'm so sorry. I wish I could join you.
It's okay. I don't normally drink a ton. It's just that when the computer shut down, I decided it was more than I can handle.
Okay, so police had to lock up angry raccoons who got drunk on crabapple hooch. And they won't be released until they sober up.
You got to dry them out.
What the heck is a crab apple?
I have no, wait, you tell the story. I'm going to Google crab apple.
Okay. So it all started when reports of rabid raccoons terrorizing a neighborhood in West Virginia started coming out. It turned out that they were exaggerated. The raccoons did not have rabies, but they were just drunk. Turns out the raccoons did not have rabies like some of the people witnessing this erotic. No, not erotic.
Erotic.
Erratic.
Oh.
Erratic raccoon behavior.
Raccoons do a little swivel.
Turns out that they were drunk on fermented crab apples.
So I think what happens, my guess is that the crab apples, so it's just like a form of apple, falls to the ground and then rots and then ferments as it's like rotting is my guess.
No way. So the whole story comes from the Milton Police Department of West Virginia on Facebook. The department released this mugshot of one of the masked suspects in quotation marks. Look at this raccoon.
Oh, buddy. Mm. Oh, little buddy.
He's very cute.
He's so cute.
No, he'll chew through your damn garbage.
If I die young, it's going to be because I tried to pet a raccoon or a bear. They're so cute.
So they didn't have rabies like all of the people in the neighborhood thought. They were just drunk. That's so sad. They were just hungry.
You know what? You should never assume someone has rabies.
No,
you
shouldn't. You
just assume they're drunk. Because I tried to, remember when I tried to put you down that one time?
Yeah, I know.
And
you
were like, no, 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 I'm drunk. And I was like, no, no.
I know. All those rabies posters in college in the lounge. You were like, don't assume somebody has rabies. Just assume they're drunk.
Yeah.
Foaming from the mouth could be a little bit of
Alka-Seltzer.
Whipped cream coming out.
Cream.
You know, you had some
don't
pie.
Put someone down just because you think they have whipped cream in their mouth.
So police hauled two drunk raccoons down to animal headquarters. And waited for them to sober up and then release them back into the woods unharmed.
Baby, baby, baby.
Called the authorities just in case the creatures are ill or drunk, they say.
Okay.
Oh.
Sweet baby, 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 baby.
Let's go find us some crab apples.
I mean, it sounds great and it's cheap.
So if something equally crazy happens to you over Thanksgiving holiday,
yes,
catch it. Catch it on camera and then send it to Legacy Box so it will live forever. Bethan, you just got some videos digitized from Legacy Box of your grandfather in Africa catching a snake. I mean, there were videos of your mother from the 60s in there.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing about technology is that we move on and old technology is left behind. So if you're like me and you have just like boxes of videotapes or small, those tiny videotapes that used to fit into the video recorder to play.
And you remember the tiny little tapes and you put them in the bigger tape?
Yeah, exactly. Now, what do? I don't have a VCR. No. You don't have a VCR. Nope. You send them to Legacy Box. If you go to my Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson, you can see one of the videos that we were able to save by sending it to Legacy Box. It's a video from when I was an awkward kid with all of the braces.
I love it.
Telling a story about potatoes from my family. You can see my cousin and my sister running around in the background. We haven't seen this video in years and years, and we probably would never have seen it again.
Yeah.
But we sent them to Legacy Box.
Yeah. When you're home for Thanksgiving, dig through the attic.
Yeah.
Get those old photos, get those old VHS tapes, send
those
them
old,
to
old, like reel to reels.
Send them to Legacy Box so you can keep those memories forever.
Yeah. And I know that it's scary because you're like, these are one of a kind. Here's the thing. There's easy to follow instructions and there's safety barcodes included for every single item so that they can scan them and tell you exactly where this priceless piece of family heirloom is as they're digitizing it. And then they send it back. They have digitized over 450,000 families worth of tapes and audio recordings over a decade of experience. And all of their work is done by hand right here in the U.S.
How amazing would it be to do this, send it to Legacy Box, get all your stuff over Thanksgiving, and then you surprise your family on Christmas with all this amazing nostalgia of the glory days.
It's the best gift you could possibly give. Your family is going to think you're a hero. We did it for my grandma and grandpa, like you said. I think I'm going to post the video of my grandmother and my mom, like, with their monkey and their snake in Africa.
That's
like, just holding the family snake.
It's so crazy. That's something that you would never be able to see, that your mom probably only has very faint memories of.
Exactly. This is such a cool thing. You really, really want to do this. I cannot recommend them highly enough. And there's never been a better time to do it. So digitally preserve your memories. Visit legacybox.com today to get started. And for a limited time, they're offering you guys an exclusive discount. So go to legacybox.com/taste to get 40% off your first order. So again, go to legacybox.com/taste and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. So before we say what we learned this week, Kathleen, one of the reasons that this podcast is so incredible is that this community of you guys who listen to it are just the coolest people. Like, we just are such fans of you as people. And Kathleen, you got an email from one of our taste buds who we just adore.
Yes, Caitlin.
Caitlin, girl, what's up?
And this is creepy that I'm going to say this, but I think about Caitlin all the time because she is one of the most charming and funny and engaging people I've ever met.
Caitlin is, she's one of those, you know, that friend who always finds herself in bizarre situations. That's Caitlin.
And then she can deliver a hilarious story to describe such bizarre situations.
Yeah, we love Caitlin.
So she wrote us an email this week, and I just thought it was very sweet. And it was a long email, and I'm just going to read one little piece of it because I think it applies to awkward family situations this weekend.
Amazing.
She wrote, Bethany, I don't know if you remember this, but I met you at the meetup for Sam's birthday back in August, and I was talking about family expectations and how I want to get my doctorate, and you said, in straight up seriousness, you can't frame a baby. So if your family is wondering this weekend over Thanksgiving dinner why you are in school still or, you know, getting extra credits for a career that you're working on and you don't have kids and you're not married, you just say, well, you can't frame a husband.
Yeah.
You can't frame a baby.
You can't frame, you cannot frame a relationship.
No.
But if you want a relationship over your career, that's great, because guess what? Your career isn't going to keep you warm at night.
No.
So there's always a way to spin it.
So
Caitlin, we love you. And again, we've plugged it already, but like the Facebook page, the secret Facebook page, you guys are just amazing to each other.
Speaking of social media, we posted something across the board, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're releasing something very top secret.
You guys, I'm so excited.
Bethany is wearing hers right now, and I just want to make it official. We are releasing Acquired Taste Berets.
Yes, we are so excited. This is the first in many things of merch that we're doing, but this we are able to make it happen really fast because of your friend, Kathleen.
Yes, we're partnering up with my friend Kirsten. She runs this amazing company called Rosa Gold, and you can find her at rosa.gold. Just type that into your browser, and the website will come right up. I sent her our font a couple of weeks ago, and I was just like, you know, could you embroider this font?
and she can.
And we're going to embroider I'm an Acquired Taste onto berets of all different colors. And you can choose the color of your thread. It's going to be up on rosagold.com. We're going to make the big announcement on our Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast. So make sure you're following us there because it's going to be super limited release.
Yeah, like very limited. So as soon as you see the post, turn on your notifications right now for our Instagram so that you know as soon as we post about it, jump on and get yours. And then hopefully if they sell well, we will do more. But right now it's really limited.
Mm-hmm.
And we do plan on doing more merch, but this is just our first step into merch. And who doesn't love a beret? It's where you put your oily hair.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When if you get a beret, please send us a photo of you and your day off from washing your hair.
Yeah, we are so, so, so excited. Merch has been a long time coming. But as you guys know, this podcast has gone through many incarnations. So we're finally getting into it.
When I was over to Bethany's house today, Kitchen Studio NYC, I stepped out of my apartment with my Acquired Taste beret on. No joke. They're doing construction in the building next door to me. They're building like new stairs.
Yeah.
And there were some guys outside and they were like, yo, I like your hat.
Thank you, but it's a beret.
I was like, I can't even make this stuff up. Honestly, it was like, it gave me magical powers.
It's great. I love it so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'm an Acquired Taste. It takes you a while to like me, but once you do, you're stuck for life.
So, Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that coconut oil is too big of a molecule for your face.
Interesting.
Yeah. So coconut oil is everywhere, right? You use it for everything.
It's very trendy.
Yeah. People use it to like whiten their teeth.
It's
and
the
like
cauliflower
whatever.
Of oils.
It really is. And I had been doing something and I don't remember what it was, but I just had a lot of makeup on my face.
Yeah.
And I had like false eyelashes on and just so many things were on my face. And so sometimes using an oil is easier to like put it on first to break up all the crap on your face and then you wash your
face. That's the Korean way. It's like multi-washing processes and Korean beauty experts always say use an oil first on your face.
Yeah, like helps to break down all the crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this coconut oil handy and so I used it And I immediately broke out, like massive breakouts.
Really?
All over. And the kind of breakouts that are almost fun, because if you like stretch your skin, you can feel them underneath, like, oh, the blackheads underneath, and you just kind of want to like get at them, but you shouldn't, because it's really going to just like activate the oil.
Then I get out my little tool and I start digging.
Digging at them. You're digging at them.
Extractor tool.
You just pull them out.
Oh, it feels
but
so good.
I went to, finally just went and got a facial to get them out the proper way. And she was like, yeah, that's too big of a molecule for your face. Basically gonna just sit in every pore you have. So don't use coconut oil to just don't use it on your face. Just don't put it on your face.
Have you seen those facials that everybody's getting now on Facebook where they put a little suction thing on your face and
what is
suck
that?
Stuff out of your pores?
They put like this magnetic black thing over their face and it seems...
It's like a vacuum, and then you get a little vial of all of like the gunk that was in your skin, and I love looking at that stuff.
Yeah, but it seems like hype. I mean, what...
If anybody listening to this has gotten one of those facials and you had a really great experience, will you please email us and acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com, because I'm dying to know if those things really work.
We love a facial.
And I love looking at the gunk and squeezing it out and saving it.
Oh, crap. Putting it in a vial and giving it to your mom. Yeah. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you are seeing children in your family that you don't normally see this weekend, or this week rather, for the holidays, share your passions with them.
Oh.
Because I have introduced my nieces to the magic of podcasting.
Oh my goodness.
So a few weeks ago, I had a sleepover with them.
Yes, that's right.
And we made a podcast. We like wrote out a script. We had some microphones. Even my mother-in-law, who's grandma to them, got in on it. We did different voices, different characters. And now every time they see me, they want to talk about podcasting.
That's so great.
And I also introduced them this weekend to the magic of Home Alone.
Oh my gosh. Home Alone.
Best movie ever.
What did Kevin McAllister's dad do for a living, by the way, that he was able to afford that huge trip?
And that house.
That was going around on Twitter, but like, it's a really good point.
And also I noticed this weekend that Kevin McAllister's father is wearing a Burberry coat. That thing is like $5,000.
Dude, they are loaded. What was his job?
I don't know, but you remember the mother? She gave him like, you know, when the pizza guy comes, he's like $126 for pizza. First of all, I don't know where you can get a large pie for $12 anymore.
Insane.
Definitely not in New York.
No.
But then the mom gives like the pizza guy a really nice tip and he's like, hey, nice tip. What did they do?
Independently wealthy.
Just the wallpaper.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Stunning.
The bedding. The
that
rugs.
That home was a hotel.
I know. And they had three floors. There was an attic with an extra bedroom up there.
Unacceptable.
Anyway, I shared my love of Home Alone with my children.
Did they
Not
like
my
it?
Children. With my nieces. Oh, Lord. I don't have children.
It's okay.
They loved it.
It's a good movie.
And they didn't get stuck on the little factors like, you know, the burglars are coming to steal all the VCRs.
Next, you need to show them the YouTube series Home Alone with, what is it, Home Alone with Blood?
No, Home Alone 2, Stuck in New York or something.
No, okay. No, hold on.
Oh, I also realized, you know the part in Home Alone where Joe Pesci, he like puts his head they like burn his scalp off. Do you know that part when he's trying to get into the house?
Yes.
I just realized after endless times of seeing this movie, that is probably a hat with a fake burned scalp on it.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Isn't that so smart?
That's what I had not thought of that.
Yeah. I know.
You need to show them.
What the heck is Home Alone with Blood?
So it's YouTube series. It's a Home Alone if all of the injuries actually had blood happen as they should have.
No, I know he puts his whole foot over a nail and there's no blood.
Oh. Why don't you guys try the stairs?
Right.
Oh, shoot. There's blood everywhere.
There's blood.
Well, that's a
everywhere.
Scene from Home Alone 2, the New York version, where Kevin throws a pipe down an empty house, like down the stairway, and it hits both of these two.
And it dislocates their jaw.
Yeah.
There's like blood everywhere.
And they fall back like 12 feet into a concrete floor with nothing on it. And yeah, they lived in the movie. They were fine.
Yeah, his skull is crushed.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's great. Home Alone with Blood.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, it's from a few years ago, but it's amazing.
Show the children that.
Show the children. This is why I don't have kids.
The younger, the better.
Thank you so much for listening. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. If you would like to do so, please follow us on social media. On Twitter, I'm Radio Bethany. Everything else, Ms. Bethany Watson.
I'm at Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
Tweet us at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook.com/AcquiredTastePodcast.
Or you can email us at AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
Loki is crying because he is hungry for dinner. If you need a P.O. box for us, we have one. Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You know what, taste buds? Join the Facebook group.
Yeah.
The secret Facebook group, because I feel like we're all going to need a little bit of support this weekend.
Yeah.
Seeing family members we don't normally see, seeing family members that we don't normally like.
Yeah. Someone, your aunt going like, are you still gay? Or have you grown out of being gay? Did the big city turn you gay? Why are you gay?
The line that I'm going to use this weekend is, wow, did you really spend a lot of time cooking this? How rude is that?
My aunt once asked, she insinuated that moving to New York had been my excuse to be a slut.
Oh.
And was I ready to stop being a slut?
Oh my God. Well, aunt, you ready to stop being a biatch?